So a few weeks ago, I was playing with my daughter Naomi. She's about 20 months, and she's kind of getting to that stage where she can start to kind of identify various parts of her body. And so we'll play a little game of she'll be sitting on my lap, and I'll say to her, "Where's your ear?" And she'll point to her ear, and then "Where's your nose?" And she's got some experience putting her finger there, so she just immediately go there. No kidding, I said this in the sermon first service, and then I'm holding her in the back, and she just knows where I'm like, come on. She was listening to the sermon, apparently. And then I'll say to her, "Where's your belly button?" And kids, that is the best question. I love how when you ask any child that, it's not just a subtle little, point to the belly button. It's, "Where's your belly button? Woo!" It's like, okay, hold on. Come on there. Okay. But for kids, their body is this thing that they're like kind of just discovering, this thing in which they live. And then it's funny how as time goes on and you grow up, how much more intimate your body becomes to you, and how much you start to care heavily about your body and maybe even like the physical appearance of your body. That starts kind of in those teenage years, and it really kind of continues on into adulthood until you hit the dreaded tipping point. And some of you know this dreaded tipping point where suddenly you are going the other direction. You are living in an aging body. The first wrinkle appears. Joints that once felt great when doing things, now suddenly they hurt and you don't even really know why. Your metabolism plummets, and so that thing that you used to be able to eat 10 of, no problem, you eat one, and it's a disaster. And so you just start noticing all of these things where it's like, oh my goodness, I am starting to go the other direction, and really we're confronted with this reality of we are dying. Now our culture and world, we fight a lot against dying. It's interesting, the healthcare industry is one of the largest industries in our country. I think in 2021 alone, over $4 trillion was spent in healthcare. And really, if you want to just summarize healthcare, it's fighting against this force of death, right? That is all of us are experiencing. And even if you look at commercials, there's all sorts of commercials, right, of take this pill or this magic thing and it'll reverse the effects of death. Like we so long for a pushing back or even a reversal of the effects that death has on us. And yet, despite $4 trillion, we can do so many amazing things in healthcare. We cure diseases. We can do transplants. All sorts of just incredible stuff. We can't stop death. We can't stop it. It's inevitable. And that might seem really grim way to start a message, but I actually think it's really important that we come to the full grasp of that reality. Because it's when we come to that place that we begin to actually be surprised by the hope that is coming because of the resurrection of Jesus. And what's so cool about this hope, specifically the hope of the resurrection of the body, the redemption of these bodies, is that this is a hope that can resonate not just with followers of Jesus. This is a hope that can resonate with everyone. Because every single person in this world is going to experience that wasting away of our bodies. You can't avoid it. And so this is a hope that can truly speak to everyone. Now it's interesting, on Easter morning, when Jesus rose from the dead, he wasn't just announcing, that he was alive and that now, he'd conquered death and that you were going to, go live in heaven someday, but his body, his glorified, resurrected body, was actually a picture for us of what our bodies will be like at the resurrection. He's giving us this picture of what happened to him is going to happen to us. And I love how theologian N.T. Wright puts it. He says, Jesus is both the model for the Christian's future body and the means by which it will come. So what we see in Jesus is what we can hope for with us. Now, in this series, you know, we've been talking about how, when we die, our spirits depart from these physical bodies, and we are in the presence of Jesus immediately. Our souls are with Jesus. But the key in this whole series is that that's not the ultimate goal. Like, the way the Bible talks about the life that is to come, it's not to just be spirits with Jesus. It's not the life after death, but our ultimate goal, our ultimate hope, is the life after death. It's a lot of afters there. Life after death. This time where Jesus comes back, bringing the souls of those who are asleep with him, and the raising of our bodies and our souls and our resurrected bodies come together to live in eternity in the new heavens and new earth. That is the ultimate goal that we long for. And so what I want to explore today is what is there in that hope for our bodies in the resurrection? What is the hope that is found in that? What can we expect? Are we just going to glow? I don't know. Sometimes you think like glorified bodies. We're just going to be all glowing. But what is truly the hope that is found in that? And we're going to look at it through three things. And the first one is that our bodies will be physical. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians here, he writes to them, "For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing." And I know there's some of you here who can relate to that feeling of longing for the restoration that Jesus is bringing. And Paul here, he makes this comparison between our earthly bodies, the ones in which we live now, and these heavenly bodies, the ones in which we will have. And sometimes I think those words kind of throw us off a little bit. Like, earthly we think is physical, and heavenly we think is spiritual. And this is where kind of why in our culture heaven is always portrayed as floating in the clouds. And it's almost like Paul knows we're going to get sidetracked and think this, because the very next verse he says, "For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies." So if you walked in thinking we're just going to be spirits floating forever, no, there is so much greater hope to that. Paul is saying we are going to physically live in physical bodies like we live in right now. And yet, they are bodies that will also be very different from the bodies we have now. And he fleshes this out in this comparison between a tent and a home. Now, who here enjoys going camping in a tent? Wow, a few more of you. I did this first service, and it was like, it felt like four people. I was like, wow, Minnesotans are weak. But okay, we got the tent people who enjoy camping in tents. Come to late service. Good to know. But the reality is, like, you might enjoy going camping and whatnot, and you might do that for a day, or maybe even if you're one of those really rugged people, you know, a week or two. But no one, I think, maybe Joel Simic, but no one else wants to stay in a tent forever. Like, there's kind of this recognition that a tent is temporary. It's not the permanent place, and that when you get home, whether it's from camping or really any kind of trip, you know that feeling when you walk in your home again, and it's kind of just this, I'm home. Like, you can fully rest. You just know it's a place of this place of peace, of belonging, this place that I am home. And what Paul is saying is that our bodies in the life to come
are going to be even more physical than the ones we have now. The ones we have now are our temporary, says the ones we have then, they are permanent. And the ones we have right now, maybe there's kind of things about your body that you don't love or insecurities or anything like that. And he's saying the new body, when this body is raised and restored, you will be completely and totally content in that physical body as you live life in it. You work, you play, you live the way your body was meant to live. Our bodies will be physical. But then also, the next thing is that our bodies will be immortal. Paul goes on here and he says, while we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. I love that phrase, swallowed up by life. Isn't that cool? That in this life, our bodies right now, they are wasting away under this just inevitable force of death. We can't stop it. But that in the new heavens and the new earth, our bodies, it will be the exact opposite. Our bodies will be being renewed and restored under this inevitable force of life. The life-giving breath of the Father just filling us up and making us experience the fullness of what it means to live in this body that he has created. A true fullness of life. And Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, he makes this comparison that the life that we live now in these bodies, it's like a shadow of what is to come. And I'm going to guess, you know, maybe you've seen this play out, maybe with a family member, a friend, someone who is really sick. Or maybe they get a terminal illness or whatnot, and you see them, you know, laying on that bed in their frail and weak body, and you know, you think to yourself, man, they are a shadow of who they once were. And Paul is saying the difference between that and your body now is what it will be of these bodies to what they will be when they are raised and restored again. Right now, these are shadows of what they will be in their glorified and renewed state. Living in eternity, never wasting away, but constantly being filled with the life of the Father. So they'll be physical, they'll be immortal. The last point is our bodies will be redeemed. Now, something that's always fascinated me about the whole resurrection account, besides Jesus rising from the dead, that obviously very amazing, but something that's always caught my attention was actually later on when Jesus appears to his disciples. And, you know, they're in the locked room, and oftentimes this is the account of doubting Thomas, and that's kind of what we focus on. But there's this particular detail in there that always caught my attention, kind of almost puzzled me a little bit, and it was why does the resurrected Jesus, when he appears to his disciples, why does he have scars on his hands? Like, you ever think about that? Why does Jesus have these scars? Why does the risen, you know, glorified, perfect body of Jesus, the body that is supposed to give us a picture of what our bodies will be like, why are there these marks of the pain and suffering that he had gone through before? And you see, in this, I think we start to see just how great the hope of the resurrection and what it's bringing. And that is, the hope of the resurrection isn't just that God's going to take away your pain, take away the suffering that your body has endured, and make it magically disappear. No, the hope is so much greater. The hope isn't that it's going to disappear, but that it's going to be redeemed. See, Paul uses this incredible analogy here when he says, someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have?
What a foolish question. Apparently Paul thinks there are dumb questions. I was always told there wasn't. Apparently Paul does. When you put a seed into the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that will grow, but only a bare seed of wheat or whatever you are planting. And so what Paul is saying here is, you know, a seed is nothing like the plant that is going to, you know, sprout from it. And yet there's a deep connection between the two, right? And this is where he goes on and he says, it's the same way with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. See, there's really two things that this analogy of the planting of a seed gives us. And the first is, any gardener knows that if you care about a plant that you're trying to grow, you're going to care about the seed, right? Like, you care for the seed because you recognize the connection between the two. And so this leads into us living lives right now. We care for the bodies in which we live. And we care for it because we recognize the deep value that God has bestowed upon our bodies. God is not just throwing your body away at the resurrection and replacing it with a totally different one. No, he is taking your broken body and restoring it and renewing it. Saying that that body that he created, even though it's full of sin and brokenness, it is valuable. And so first and foremost, we in this life, we care for our bodies. We value other people's bodies. There's a deep value bestowed upon the Father, upon the human body. It is, you know, one of the crowns of his creation. But the second thing this analogy does is it also gives us incredible hope. Incredible hope. Because if your body is like a seed, and you know, a seed is pretty irremarkable. And maybe that seed of your body, maybe it's filled with a lot of not so great stuff. Maybe that seed of your body is filled with the pain of someone who crossed the line and took advantage of your body. Maybe that seed is filled with the guilt of living a life with your body that you know goes against God's plans and his what he desires for your life, and living a way with your body that has devalued it, and you live with that guilt. Maybe that seed is filled with the pain of being faced with the mortality of your body, whether it's, you know, the diagnosis, terminal illness, maybe even just growing old, and you carry that, you feel it. Maybe that seed is filled with the weakness of a body that's born with a disability, where now you live a life with a body not functioning the way it was meant to live, and there's all sorts of hardship and suffering that results from that. Each one of us in the seed of our body carries this pain, this brokenness, this weakness. And yet what Paul says is that when we die, that seed, it is planted in the ground with all of the pain with it. Everything goes with it. And yet there will be a day of resurrection. A day when that new body is raised, it's raised from the old one. And the amazing thing in this is that at that day of resurrection, God is not just making you all the pain and all the hardship disappear. He's not just making you forget about it, but instead, in some way, God is going to use everything that you've endured with your body, every pain, every hardship, and he's going to use it to produce something far greater than you could have imagined in the first place. Our pain in this life, it's not meaningless. And so even if you go your whole life without an answer of why something happens, you have the assurance that God is going to use the things that you've gone through, the things that you've endured,
and we think about the body of Jesus, what did those wounds on him, those scars, communicate? It communicated the love and faithfulness of God, even through the worst of things. And your body at the resurrection will be a testament to the faithfulness of God, even through the hardest things you have endured. God will redeem it all. Make it all new, not just disappear, but he will redeem it all and through it be a testament to his faithfulness in your life, no matter what. That is the hope that we truly are surprised by, and that's a hope that leads us now, because you aren't hopeless. Nothing you endure can take away that hope that you have. Nothing your body has gone through is the last word. The last word is Jesus taking your body and redeeming it in full. You have that assurance. That is our hope. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this room is filled with bodies that you have created, that you love, and that you are redeeming. And Lord, there is so much brokenness in this room. Much of it, other people don't even know. And yet, Lord, you know. And you don't just know, you are using it. You are working through all things in life and using it to make all things new, to where we will look back someday in the new heavens and new earth and marvel at how you worked through even the worst of things, as there's no greater of an example than that, than you, the Son of God, on the cross. And so, Lord, we praise you. We long for the day of the renewal of our bodies, and we live this life now caring for our bodies and living lives with incredible purpose as we are part of the restoration process and making all things new. In your name we pray. Amen.